And we read from the Word of God, from the book of Micah, in chapter 5 and from verse 2, written at a time of great darkness and trouble. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. And then we read together in the Gospel of Luke, as Micah's prophecy begins to be fulfilled. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. May God bless the reading of his word.
Now let us pray. God our Father, in this moment we remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, who watched events unfolding around her, who pondered all these things in her heart, treasured up the memories of everything that had been said about her son and the honor that was paid to him, treasured up all these things and thought very deeply about them. And we pray that tonight, as we come to your word, that you would awaken thoughts in our minds that will lead us to honor your son as he was honored by the shepherds on the night of his birth. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, folks, I've lost count, really, of the number of people throughout this year, and probably more towards the latter end of the year, who've said to me, this has been a really quick year. And I'm not just talking about oldies like myself, who I'm told tend to think that time passes a bit quicker as the years go by. People of all generations, all experiences of life seem to think that 2017 has been a quick year. And I know that sometimes you can feel this if there are things happening in your life, good or bad, a multitude of events that pile in, and you think that you're just being carried along by some unseen force. But I believe also that there have been things happening in the wider world in the past year that have made us feel that perhaps things are just getting a wee bit out of control. There have been polls which have turned out unexpected results. There have been terrorist attacks not that far away from where we are tonight, in Manchester and in London. There have been perhaps more natural disasters throughout the world than normal. And celebrity scandals, which just seem to arise on a weekly basis. All of this, things happening on a personal level, things happening on a worldwide scale, can lead us to the conclusion that things are perhaps spinning out of control. And it's just that moments like this, moments of uncertainty, moments of instability, that we really need to listen to the ancient voices of faith as we find them in our Bible. Yes, I know that in many ways we would regard these people as being primitive. They were limited in so many ways compared to us scientifically and technologically. But surely it would be supreme arrogance on our part to think that spiritually they were any less advanced than us. Because in so many ways, the wisdom that these people cherished hundreds, thousands of years ago is wisdom that's still relevant today. We heard tonight, David read to us from the prophet Micah, who lived some 700 years before Jesus was born. And he was one of those men who believed that God was working out his purpose through every event that fell to human experience. Whether it was light or dark, pleasing or painful, joyful or sorrowful, he believed that God was working out his loving purpose, and that one day that love and his justice and his peace would prevail throughout the whole of creation, when the kingdom of this world would become the kingdom of heaven. And that was the faith that Mary and Joseph were brought up with. It had been revealed to them through the teaching they received that God had a good and loving purpose for the whole of humankind. But amazingly, it had also been revealed to them personally that they had an important role to play in the unfolding of that good and loving purpose. Because the baby that was soon to be born to Mary, that baby was destined to show God at work in the world in a way that had never been seen before. Because this baby would grow to be a man who would show great power in his life, who would make the blind see and the lame walk, and who would even call upon a dead man to live. And he did. This baby would grow to be a man who, in his personality, would show the kingdom of God actually breaking in to the experience of men and women in the here and now. He would be a foretaste of what God was seeking to do at the end of all things, when any dark experience, when anything that would ever make us cry was completely sucked out of human experience. And that was a challenge for people like Mary and Joseph to believe in their time. Because on the surface of things, it didn't look too bright for their nation, because Israel at that time was an occupied country. It was part of the Roman Empire. And if Caesar Augustus said, jump, then the only response was to say, how high? So when he proclaimed a census for the whole of the Roman world, one of the conditions of that census was that you had to go to your hometown to register. And no matter how inconvenient it might be for you, you had to go there, you had to obey. And so Mary and Joseph had to make the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where Joseph had been born. But we have to imagine them traveling. Just an ordinary couple on the surface, but holding very strongly within themselves the belief that there was a higher authority than Caesar Augustus. They knew this to be true because they had received messages from the eternal world. They had received messages from the throne room of God himself. Angels had drawn near to them and told them of their own destiny and the destiny of Mary's baby. So they had this conviction deep within themselves that it was God who was in control, that his will was unfolding, and that that will would be fulfilled in Mary's baby. Do you remember the message of the angels to the shepherds? Or rather, the hymn of praise that they sang when they revealed the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women upon whom God has placed his favor. God had a good purpose for humankind, and that purpose was going to be advanced through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I regard Christmas, friends, this season that we celebrate, I regard this as an opportunity for us to increase our faith in the good and loving purpose of the God who is revealed in Jesus. You know, just this morning at our service, I was talking about Charles Dickens and his purpose in writing all these Christmas stories. It wasn't just the Christmas Carol, there were others. And when they were all brought together in one volume, he declared the purpose of all these stories, and he said that they were to awaken some loving and forbearing thoughts which are never out of season. He wanted in his stories to awaken all these positive thoughts and feelings. Feelings of kindness, compassion, that are never, ever out of season. So when we're talking about the greatest story that has ever been told, about the Son of God being born in our midst as one of us to be our Savior, then as we draw near to that story as we're doing tonight, then that's an opportunity for faith to be awakened, for faith to be strengthened in this God who has revealed himself through Jesus. and revealed his good and loving purpose for each and every one of us. It is seen so powerfully in the gift that Jesus was, and that all that, and in all that he has promised to do for those who trust in him. Because tonight, as we draw near to the story of Jesus' birth, a God is revealed to us who seeks to forgive us for all our sins, who seeks to renew our character according to the pattern of Jesus' life, who seeks to establish us very firmly in that kingdom that is to come. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of love and justice. And I understand how much of a challenge that is for us to believe tonight. There may be stuff in our personal lives that we're struggling with at present. There may be things that we see in the world at large that work against our faith in a loving God. And that's why tonight, personally, I'm thinking most of Mary and Joseph, because they're showing me a way forward. Because if you're feeling a bit wobbly tonight because things have happened to you, then remember the things that happened to Joseph, who had to lay aside his work, who had to organize his wife and perhaps other members of the extended family in order to obey the decree of Caesar Augustus. And I wonder if while he was doing this, and perhaps thinking about the effect that all of this was having in his personal life, I wonder if he asked himself the question, is this really the way that God works? Through all this bother, through all this disturbance in my life, is this the way that God works? But then that same man could hold against all of this the promise that he had heard of his own destiny and the destiny of the baby that Mary was carrying, and the assurance that despite how he was feeling, God was in control. And then think about Mary being taken away from her home, 8 months or so pregnant, having to travel the 97 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I'm sorry, but the Bible doesn't mention any little donkey. She probably had to walk. And then arriving in Bethlehem, and there's no place for them to stay, and she gives birth in a shed. And I wonder if in her mind arose the question, is this really the way God works? Through all this discomfort, through all this pain, through all this mess. But then she could hold against her own personal experience the memory of the angel's visit to her and the assurance that this baby she was carrying was the Son of God, that God was in control and that all would be well for her. And I wonder if 33 years later, that same disturbing question came into the mind of Mary as she saw her son hanging on a cross. Is this the way God works? But then she could hold against that question the promise that the angel gave her before his birth: his kingdom will never end. And 3 days after his death upon a cross, the answer would come out loud and clear: yes, Mary, this is the way God works. He works through suffering in order to bring about the glory of his renewal and his hope for humankind. For the cross means forgiveness. The cross means renewal. The cross means the beginning of a new humanity. And that truth was very powerful in the mind and in the heart of a man called Paul, who became a follower of Jesus. And on one occasion he was able to write in a letter to a very early Christian community a startling thing, the most challenging thing that I have ever read. This man, Paul, says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him." Rewind a wee bit. In all things, Paul? Yes, says the apostle, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Because in all things, light or dark, pleasing or painful, joyful or sorrowful, God is present. We know that because of the gift of Jesus. And we know that in all things, light or dark, pleasing or painful, joyful or sorrowful, God's forgiveness is possible for every man and every woman. And we know that in all things, there can be renewal for even the most hopeless of cases. And the promise of eternity, a place in the presence of Jesus. And, you know, friends, that really for me is the heart of Christmas. The promises of God in the midst of all the messy experiences that sometimes we have to go through. You know, I love all the trappings of this time of the year, what John Betjeman called the sweet and silly Christmas things. But you know, what we're dealing with here, if we're really interested in the story as it happens, what we're dealing with here is something very gutsy. We're dealing with bad things happening to good people, but those people still believing. Because of the God that they knew, and because of the promises that he had made to them. And I believe it's possible for us to have faith in this God because of the way that he's revealed himself to us. Through a human being who suffered as we have to suffer, but through his suffering brought renewal to humankind. I've been a minister for an awful long time now, and still I feel very powerfully that privilege of being with men and women in their worst of times and sensing the flame of faith burning brightly in their lives. People who've heard the story of Jesus, who feel within themselves that they've been worth the death of God's only Son, that he is God's gift to them, and that through him there is hope for this life and hope for eternity. I remember years ago a man saying to me, you know, I could never believe. But you're lucky, he said, pointing to him. He said, you're lucky. You've got the gift. Well, you know, I believe that the gift is offered to each and every one of us, friends. I believe that heaven tonight is holding its breath to see if any will believe. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in. And that's possible tonight, for faith to be awakened in Mary's son, for faith to be strengthened for the challenges that lie ahead. Let's pray. God our Father, the bell announces our movement into Christmas morning, when we remember the precious gift of your Son. And tonight we ask for grace to respond to him as he was 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but as he is tonight, the Lord of the universe, who will one day return to this earth and extend his reign throughout the whole of human experience. By your grace, enable us to come to him in faith as he comes to us tonight. And we pray this in his name. Amen.